This is, hey, you heard we are being recorded. This is Cherry Lane Genoway. I'm calling to order the August 13th, 2021 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. Tony Elevato will lead us with the inspiration, followed by Phil Orland with the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everybody except Tony and Phil could please mute.
Thanks, Elaine. I took a look to, wanted to find some inspirational quotes about aging, and I found some on the internet that I thought people would enjoy. First one is, I had to wait 110 years to become famous. I wanted to enjoy it as long as possible. That's Jean-Louis Calment, who lived to be 122, died in 1997. You can live to be 100 if you give up all the things that make you want to live to be 100. Woody Allen. Too many people, when they get old, think they have to live by the calendar. John Glenn. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you was? Satchel Paige. Nature gives you the face you have at 20. It's up to you to merit the face you have at 50. Coco Chanel. Those who think they have no time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to find time for illness. Edward Stanley, lived in the 19th century. I've reached an age when if someone tells me to wear socks, I don't have to. Albert Einstein. Do not try to live forever. You will not succeed. George Bernard Shaw. By the time you're 80 years old and you've learned everything, you have only to remember it. George Burns, died at age 100, by the way. The wiser mind mourns less for what age takes away than what it leaves behind, William Wordsworth. He who is of calm and happy nature will hardly feel the pressure of age, but to him who is of the opposite disposition, youth and age are equally a burden. Plato. My wife liked this one the best. I read these to her yesterday. At age 20, we worry about what others think of us. At age 40, we don't care what they think of us. At age 60, we discover that they haven't been thinking of us at all. Ann Landers. And I think, oh, I like this one here too. Grow old with me, the best is yet to be. Robert Browning to his wife, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Age is not lost youth, but a new stage of opportunity and strength. Betty Friedan. That's it. Hope you enjoyed it.
Okay. Everybody stand. Put your hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. By the way, did you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We did. Thank you very much. Okay. Yes, we did hear both of you. So thank you, gentlemen, for getting our meeting off to a great start. Before we go any further, I just want to make sure everyone knows that there is a slight change in the agenda for today, and that is the change in the speaker. So Agent Frederick Simon is not able to be with us, but we do have a wonderful speaker on the same topic of senior fraud, Kimberly McDonald with the Orange County Sheriff's Department and Laguna Niguel Police Services. So we'll be hearing from her in a few minutes, but I did want to announce that change in the agenda. Okay, now if our Secretary Elizabeth Busick could please take roll. So for roll, everybody unmute. And then once you've responded, please mute yourself.
All right, Tony Alavado.
Present.
Denise Barnes.
Present.
Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Emilia Castro.
Present.
Meredith Chalimi.
Present.
Susan Dobach.
Present.
Carol Downey.
Present.
Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Sherry Geyer.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
K.C. Hung.
Present.
Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Larry Kramer.
Present.
Irene Martinez. Absent then. Jim Levy. Absent. Phil Mandeville is no longer with us. Nalita Mendoza.
Present.
Okay. Crystal Miles.
Present.
Patty Mouton, we know is absent today. Phil Orland.
Present.
John Pointer.
Here.
All right. Tony Rodella.
Hoorah.
Barbara Sloat.
Present.
Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Here.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
Present.
Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Present.
Evelyn Velez Rosario.
Present.
And Amina St. Matthews, we know it has to be absent today. So we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, now we will go on to item number five, which is the introduction. So we do have a new member. His membership was approved by the executive board. So I'd like to introduce Casey Hung to the SCAC members. Casey, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, thank you, Elaine, and happy to be on this council with everybody else. My name is Casey Hung. It's H-O-O-N-G spelled. Sounds like H-O-N-G. Anyway, I moved down from the San Francisco Bay Area about 15 months ago. Now I currently reside in Laguna Woods Village. My MD degree is from the University of Illinois in Chicago, and I practice integrative medicine with an emphasis on wellness through the use of natural remedies, natural means, and a minimum of drugs.
Okay, thank you so much and welcome to SCAC. We're glad you're on board. And Casey has also joined the Wellbeing Reimagined Standing Committee. Hey, and also with us today is Erica Danzik, the Director of the Office on Aging and Veteran Affairs for Orange County, and Jenna Sergio from the Office on Aging. So do we have any other guests? I don't see any. So now we'll go on to the presentation. And as I said, we are very fortunate to have today's speaker. She has my great appreciation for stepping in at the last minute, but I've heard her speak before and I know she will provide us with lots of valuable information. So Vice Chair Jean Hernandez, can you please introduce today's speaker?
It would be my honor. And I want to also welcome and thank Kimberly McDonald for stepping in. Kimberly has worked in law enforcement as a civilian on the civilian side of things for the last 30 years as a crime prevention specialist. With the last 10 years, she's worked for the Orange County Sheriff's Department. She was recently promoted to the private sector outreach coordinator for the Orange County Intelligence Assessment Center, commonly known as OCIAC. And so she is clearly qualified to give a presentation to our group on all types of fraud, particularly impacting seniors. And OCIAC is quite a status to be on that task force. That is the intelligence network operational arm for Orange County. And they liaison with everyone throughout the country. And so we're very honored to have Kimberly here today. So with that, Kimberly, take it away.
Great, thank you. I recognize some familiar faces as well as some familiar names on the guest list today. I've actually been in front of this group before talking about a program kind of near and dear to my heart. And I know Elaine Genoway will say the same thing because she was the one that brought it to our attention with the Sheriff's Department, and that's the Take Me Home program. If you're not familiar with that, we can save that obviously for another meeting, but I would be more than happy to revisit that, Elaine, if you so choose down the line, because it is a great program and we've had great success with it. So without further ado, I'm gonna share my screen and start the presentation. All right. So I want to start with the initial slide. Scams is kind of a vague category. There is no real age group on who is a victim of this. A little side note, my son is 24 years old, and last year he fell victim to this scam and was taken for about $1,000. So it doesn't care what age group, it doesn't care where you're from or anything about your background. If you answer the phone, if you respond to an email, you could potentially become a victim of any one of these scams. So last year, 2020, was a tough year for all of us between the pandemic and, of course, the economic crisis, the situation. We had our hands full, but scammers didn't take the year off. They didn't get a furlough. They didn't get to go home and work from home. They were at it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 2020 proved to be a very busy year and lucrative for some when it comes to fraud. So in doing some research to prepare for today's presentation, I found what the FBI as well as the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, reports as the top scams last year for 2020. Now, if you were to Google this, you would get the same list. If you were to Google it for 2019, 18, 17, 16, you're gonna see a lot of repeat offenders on this list. But the top one, impersonation, has been probably the number one go-to scam for probably upwards of 10 years now. You may have heard it referred to as the grandparent scam, or the IRS scam, law enforcement scam. These are the types of impersonations that you typically get via a phone call. And they will say they are a grandchild. Just keep in mind, people always ask, where did they get this information? If you get a chance later today, Google your name and see what comes up in those search engines. That is exactly where they get this information. Your information, every time you sign up for a credit card, every time you complete a survey, every time you open an account with Macy's or anything like that, where you order Amazon, when you order things online, that information is public information and it is shared. Sometimes it's shared for a price, but it is out there and it's accessible. So it's not unforeseeable, especially if you have a social media account, that these individuals could get a hold of that information that ties them, that makes it more personal. So they'll call you, claim that they're your grandson, your granddaughter, a niece, a nephew, and they've gone to Mexico for a spring break vacation with a group of friends, and they got into some trouble, and now they're in jail, and they need help to get out of jail and to get back home and out of the country. And my son's was a little bit different. It was a phone call. He generated the phone call. So interesting, his credit card got denied at the gas station, saying that it was his debit card, saying he had no funds. Well, he had just deposited his paycheck, so he knew different. So he called the bank, and they said that someone had charged, or it appears as though someone had charged an Apple iPhone on, using his debit information. And so that was tying up all his funds. He knew he didn't make this purchase. So he, started that claim, and he thought he's kind of like his mom, and he's a little impatient and wants to be independent and do things on your own. So he thought, I'm going to get ahead of this. I'm going to Google Apple customer service. I'm going to get a telephone number for them. I'm going to call them and let them know that they are being scammed, just like a search engine. Turns out that was a fraudulent number. It was a scammer. And he called them, and they walked him through the whole program. They were, oh, yes, sir, we see your charge, and we can get this taken off for you. But in order to expedite it, we're going to need you to go to Target and get us two $500 gift cards, call us with the number, and then we'll be able to remove this. Of course, to you and I, listening to this presentation, none of that sounds legitimate. But if you're in the moment and they're kind of pressuring you a little bit, you would be surprised at how easy it is to fall victim to these types of scams. Online shopping, we saw a huge increase in that last year with people doing the bulk of their grocery shopping, for that matter, on the internet and utilizing those services. We continue to see a lot of people utilizing those services. They're very convenient, and that's great. But connected to that component is some hacking, some cybersecurity issues, people taking advantage of that. We're also seeing affiliate organizations, they will impersonate themselves as a legitimate company. So, you know, Amazon delivery or Instacart delivery, those types of services, they will fraudulently display themselves as a member of that company. They will collect all your data. Now you've given them your credit card or your debit card information. Now they have that to do what they want with. And you're sitting around waiting for your groceries that never show. And when you start backtracking it, you realize that, okay, well, I've been taken and now I don't have anything to show for it. What do I do? We move to extortion and blackmail. We're seeing this a lot on your computers. You'll get an email where they say that your system's been compromised and you need to contact this telephone number. And when you do call that number, they represent themselves usually as Microsoft or an agency such as that. And they will ask you for some information that allows them to, they're asking for the IP number and they'll get into your computer. And then if you do any banking, any financial transactions or any of that, even simply as Amazon, they now have access to all that information. And unless you have everything locked down with good passwords and two-factor identification, they have access to your information. And the next thing you know, your account is zero balance. And that's because they're fraudulent and you've allowed them access to your computer. Verification emails. I get these quite often. We call them phishing. They'll send you an email. I just got one yesterday from, I can't recall the company, but it was a legitimate company and it's a company that I do business with. It might've been one of my credit cards. And they said, we need you to verify. It's been a while since we've talked to you. We need you to verify your information. So you click on the link, you go to this page and they ask you for your account number, your social security number, your password, all of these things. Well, if they were my legitimate credit card company, they have that information. They don't need me to provide that information. So never click on that link. If you click on that link, never provide them with information that's personal in nature. You wanna get out of that, close that down. If you feel like maybe it is legitimate or you just wanna confirm that, call the credit card company, call that company directly and ask them. We had this over the weekend. My husband got a phone call. She didn't really identify herself. She just said something along the lines of she wanted to confirm his identity before she authorized this transaction to go through, which we were attempting to put a transaction through. But the phone call was a little strange. So he said, with all due respect, I'm going to call your customer service and just verify that you are legit and that you are calling me for this specific information. And it turned out that she was. But as you can understand, he didn't want to give that personal information out over the phone and potentially be compromised. Online quizzes and games. These are fun. They are fun. I've been tempted numerous times to click on them. But I guess the crime prevention background in me says, no, we should probably look into this a little further. Those are looking to extract personal information. We talked about the grandparent scam, for instance. They're looking for information from you. Give me your mother's maiden name. Give me your father's middle name. What's your favorite color? What they're trying to do is collect data that could potentially expose some of your passwords. I know some of you are a victim of this. Whether you'll admit it or not, I don't know. But a lot of people will use their dog's name, their address, their favorite color, their favorite movie. They will use things that are easy to remember when it comes to selecting a password. Well, the scammers know this too. And those quizzes and those games that you play online that ask you for that personal information, that is probably going to an individual that is getting into some kind of a data system or something where you have your accounts locked down and utilize those words as passwords to potentially victimize you. Survey emails, we get those all the time. Just again, make sure they're legitimate and reputable. Tech support, as I mentioned, that goes back to the extortion emails, very similar in nature, where sometimes people will turn their computer on in the mornings and they'll get a pop-up right away and it looks legitimate and it'll say, this is from Microsoft or this is from Windows, and we believe your computer's been compromised. Sometimes they'll say, yeah, we are a hacker and we've locked down your system, and if you want access to your computer, you need to pay us to release that information, to which you do not respond and you call your local police department, your local policing agency, and report that right away. We have software and we have trained, highly trained investigators and individuals within every department in Orange County. And we have been very successful in getting those shut down, getting your information back online, and it doesn't cost a penny. So please don't feel like you have to give them the money. You do have other options, as with all of these. Now, if you feel that you've been a victim, there's a couple things that I want to just go over real quickly with you. You don't always need a police report. If you have given them money and you are out something financially, yes, you're a victim of identity theft and fraud, and you need to have a police report taken, because usually the credit card companies or your bank is going to want that file number, that report number, in order to start a claim and get you reimbursed, if they can. The other thing is, if you receive one of these scams and you want to report it, the only route to report these is a company called IC3. And I believe they're affiliated with Department of Homeland Security. If it's not that, it's the FBI, but I think it's Department of Homeland Security. And they have a database that they collect this information, and they're looking for trends. They're looking for IP addresses that match up. They're looking for telephone numbers. They're looking for specific things that they can put together and make a case and potentially go and stop these individuals from continuing to victimize us out there in the communities. So IC3, you can do it online. If you forget, you can call your local police agency. They all have this information, and they would be more than happy to share that with you. All right, a couple things that are, as Ms. Genoway said, I worked for quite a few years with the city of Laguna Niguel. And some things that we saw in Laguna Niguel and sometimes Mission Viejo, because we would all talk to each other. So we saw this more locally. It didn't make the top 10 scams in 2020, but it is prevalent in our area in South Orange County, for instance. So I wanted to bring it to your attention. If you've ever been approached either at a grocery store or even at your home when you're out front gardening, or maybe you're in the house and you get a knock at the door, and someone says, hey, ma'am, I noticed that your car has some dents. I'm looking for work. Maybe they got laid off because of COVID and they're just looking for some side work to bring in some cash to put food on the table for their family. They'll give you the full sob story. You will feel compelled. Even if you don't have a dent in your car, you're going to feel compelled to give them a little bit of cash. But they're going to pressure you. They're not going to take no for an answer. They're not going to let it go. Ma'am, if you take your car into a service center, they're going to charge you thousands of dollars to fix that dent. And, 2020 has been hard. And I know we've all been hit in the pocketbook with this pandemic. So for $200, I will do that for you. I personally know a victim in Laguna Niguel many, many years ago fell victim to this, where she felt sorry for the individual and said, yes, absolutely, I will help you out. She went down to her bank. She gave him about $1,000 to fix it. He put some kind of a compound on her vehicle that destroyed her car. It hardened. It became a white flaky powder. You could actually scrape it off. Some of it you could scrape off, but it wasn't coming off. You couldn't just take it through the car wash. It wasn't going to come off on its own. She ended up going down to the dealership to see if they could fix it for her. They told her that there was so much extensive damage to the car that it would be cheaper for her to get rid of the car and buy a new one. cheaper for her. And I believe it was a Cadillac. So I don't know how that's cheaper, but nonetheless, she did fall victim to this scam and was out not only the $1,000 that she had given him, but now she had to go get a new car on top of that. So be mindful of that. They're going to watch you walk to your vehicles, especially if you've got any kind of damage on your car that they can offer you a service on. So be mindful of those individuals as well. The next one is door-to-door solicitors for a lot of different reasons. Most communities in Orange County do not allow this. Most city agencies have a municipal code that deters this. For instance, you cannot do business in most cities without a permit. I believe the city of Laguna Niguel, for instance, does not allow door-to-doors. They don't give permits for door-to-door salesmen. They don't allow this type of activity. And I believe Yorba Linda is the same way. There's probably numerous others in the county, but for good reason. I think that in general, we've gotten away from soliciting business this way. There are some few, don't get me wrong, the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts do it, and they legitimately have a great service to offer. But we have individuals, young men and women coming to the front door and saying, my high school is in another city and we're trying to raise funds for new uniforms. Those are not true. If you've had or have an individual in high school, you will know, I believe the Girl Scouts have changed their policy too now for security and safety reasons. They don't allow the Girl Scouts to go door to door and sell their cookies anymore, as do the schools. They do fundraisers constantly, but they specifically tell their students not to go door to door, that it's not safe. And that's not the message they want to put out there. So we need to be a little leery of these individuals. What we have found in law enforcement is these individuals may have a legitimate service to offer you. If you sign up for a magazine subscription, you might get that magazine subscription. If you buy a vacuum, you are probably going to get that vacuum. But more importantly, the types of individuals that do this job, what we have found is they have a very difficult time getting a job in any industry because of their background. They have maybe a criminal record, maybe they've got some other issues going on that just prevent them from getting a legitimate job. So going door to door for this company is very easy. And as long as they turn in their money at the end of the day, the owner of that company doesn't care what your background is. What we're finding is that these individuals have an ulterior motive. They are casing our communities. They are looking for vulnerabilities. They are looking for people to victimize. And if you fit that description, they're going to make a note of it. They're going to tell their friends, and their friends are going to tell their friends. And now you're on that list, and you're going to get contacted again. Or, unfortunately, they're probably going to come back at a later date and time and burglarize your home, break into your vehicle, an onslaught of other things. So if you see a door-to-door salesman in your community and you feel uncomfortable with their approach, their demeanor, I encourage you to call your local police agency and report that. They are more than happy to come out, hopefully find those individuals, talk to them, determine if they do have a legitimate reason for being there. They're going to extract some information from that individual and see what their background is. A lot of them are on parole. A lot of them are on probation, and they're on parole and probation for things that connect them to theft. They're not going to get arrested or anything like that for going door to door selling their item, but they are going to be asked to leave and stop what they're doing. Doesn't always work, but we can ask. All right. So when asked to make this presentation, I know that the audience is, as in the title of your committee, it's a senior advisory committee. And I know that you have numerous opportunities to converse with your clients, which are in that age category. So I wanted safe versus not safe. Basic internet safety with my mom. My mom is 76 years old and she is not tech savvy. So it's a challenge, but she wants to be involved and she wants to do these things. She's got family and, you know, other parts of the country, other parts of the world. And this is an easy way to communicate via the internet, email, FaceTime, those types of things. So she wants to be a part of that. So this is what I always told my mom. When you search for something or you bring up a web page on the internet, if you see at the first bullet point there says HTTPS, if you see that S at the end, or if you see a lock, and if you look at the artwork, the clip art that I included there, you'll see a lock, like a master key lock that is closed. You're gonna see that little icon up in your browser bar, probably right before or somewhere in proximity to that HTTPS. If that S is there and the lock is closed, it's safe. S is for safe versus HTTP, no S. It'll show a lock, but it'll be unlocked. And sometimes it's in a different color. That is an indicator that the website you are getting ready to click on and maybe do business with is not safe, that it is fraudulent. And that's probably not something that you want to continue to look at and go down that road with them. If you're on a site and you're going to get this a lot in emails. So they do those phishing emails and it'll be from a reputable company like Macy's and you think it's legit. So you have a Macy's card, you do business with them, you have an online account, seems legitimate. So you click on the link and you don't look at the S versus the no S or the lock versus the unlock. A couple things to look at. We've all heard the saying that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So if you scroll to the bottom of that page, it'll say what their return policy is. If they don't have a return policy, they're not legitimate. If there's no phone number and no address, something that you can copy and paste into a Google browser bar and see if you can locate some information on that individual, probably not valid. Again, price is too low. That's a red flag. And what is their privacy statement? All of those things indicate, a legitimate company. If any or all of those things are missing, again, I would exit out of that page and go find another product or another distributor for the item that you're looking for. Phishing, we talked about those as one of those bullet points. If you get an email, I got an email yesterday. I got two of them, actually. They came into my spam and they were from OCSD, the Orange County Sheriff's Department. And it said that someone had sent me an encrypted fax. And all I needed to do was click on this link and open it up and I would have the document. No, not going to go there. I immediately shot that email off to our IT department and they promptly got back to me and said, please do not open this. It is fraudulent, which I figured it was. Anything that comes directly into your spam box, you need to be taking a good, hard, second look at that one, because that's probably not something you want to click on. But opening that email, clicking on that email and just opening it up so that you can read the information, that's okay. It's when you start clicking the links that are in those emails, that are embedded in those, or the attachments, that's where we have problems. View the email, okay. Go any further with it, not okay. Excuse me. This, I mentioned that I got the OCSD email yesterday that was fraudulent. This is another one. One of my coworkers got this quite a while ago, but it came into her her inbox. Now, she does business often, as most of us do, with Amazon. So if you look at the top line there, it's from, on behalf of, it says Amazon. So you see that and you go, oh, okay. But then in those little parentheses, it says management at, the A is gone. So it says Maison, Canada.ca. One could, I don't need to be a trained investigator to look at that and go, that's not Amazon. That's missing the A. Why does it say Canada.ca for California? Not legitimate. So I would not even venture down this. I would close this out and just delete it and let it go. Amazon, whenever I receive any kind of information, shipping information, notification, sales, those types of things from Amazon, they address it to, Dear Kimberly. This says client. So it's generic. It's vague. That to me, I would read on, but that would be a little bit of a red flag. Like this is probably, there's a link. And if you hover, sometimes it won't stand out to you. Sometimes you need to hover, use your mouse and hover over that link to reveal that this site takes you to a non-Amazon site. It redirects you. So when you click on it, the little pop down in red where it says redirect, that's the site it's sending you to. That to me indicates that's overseas somewhere. And they're probably going to take my money the second I click that link. And they potentially have access to other data that's on my computer when I do that as well. All right. These are ways to protect yourself. Excuse me. Familiarize yourself. There's companies out there. There's great information. Orange County Sheriff's Department's website. Most city websites follow suit with their local police agencies with information on their websites, on information on how to protect yourself. The FBI has extensive information on how to protect yourself, as well as the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. I implore all of you to make that a habit every couple of weeks, every couple of months. Just go on there, especially if you're in the business where you interact with other individuals that maybe aren't privy to this presentation or the information that we've discussed. I implore you to share this information. Let them be aware that they can find a lot of this information on those types of websites. Resist the pressure to act quickly. The number one thing we hear from all of our victims is they felt pressured. There was one going around a couple years ago where they would call you, and I'll never forget, this mom was in her car and she was driving maybe home from dropping her kids off at school, and she got a phone call, and the individual said, "We've kidnapped your daughter. You left her at school," and they knew the school, you know, they would say the name of the school. "You just left your daughter at the school. We picked her up. We've kidnapped her." And they have generic voice in the back screaming, "Mom, mom, I need your help." It's not the child. It's just voices that they've downloaded off the internet, but it will scare you. It will scare you into doing whatever you want in order to get your child back. Understandable. So resist the pressure, ask some questions, keep them on the phone. Say, "Listen, I'm driving my car and I don't want to get a ticket. Let me pull over and call you right back. Let me get to a safe area and I'm going to call you right back." I guarantee you that number's not going to work. If you're able to call them back, it's not going to work because it's a disposable phone. Be cautious on unsolicited phone calls. You know, I forgot to mention in a previous slide, what I've been receiving a lot, and I hear this is definitely on the uptick, is text messages. You will get a text message imploring you to click on a link or to call this number. You've won a prize. Be skeptical of those. Do a little bit of research before you just openly or blindly, you know, click on that and make a donation or become susceptible. Any company or any individual that you don't know that asks for you to give them or send them personal information, you never want to do this ever. Again, if it's a company that you've done business with before, they know all this information. They shouldn't be calling you and asking you for that. And then make sure that all your security software and that your malware is up to date. You get those notifications on your cell phone, sometimes on your computer, not as often, but on your computer. You might need to go into your settings and find that and just click the refresh or the reboot button, and it will check for updates and it will take care of that for you. All right. Any questions? I'm going to look in the chat real quick.
Yes, Kimberly, I have a question. This is Carol.
Yes.
My husband and I have often got the grandparent calls, but the last one we got was extremely sophisticated. It was our grandson's voice.
Ooh.
And my daughter happened to come by at the time that we were talking to this person on the phone, and there was even a man there that was supposedly a friend, his son's dad, who was an attorney. My grandson is in the Navy on the East Coast. And so we knew it was unfolding as a scam, but it was his voice. There was no question. And so my daughter said, "Let me call him." And she called him, and he was on the base. He was on the Navy base. But it was because we thought somebody was holding him and forcing him to make this call. And then somebody had to get his voice to digitalize it to make that call to us. Is this the way they're doing this now?
Ken?
You know, this is the first time I'm hearing of this, but it doesn't surprise me. They are getting more and more sophisticated. So it's a matter of time before that becomes something very real. You know, there's ways to get, so for instance, if you have an outgoing message on your voice message on your phone, you know, someone calls and they get your voice message, hi, this is Kimberly, I'm sorry, I can't take your phone call right now. If they're able to capture that data, that information, you'd be amazed at what computers and some of the software out there can do. So I have not heard of that.
Oh, it was his voice. There was no question.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, technology being what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very scary because we kind of reached, we thought, well, it's him, but is somebody holding a gun to his head and telling him to do, you know, I mean, that's what kind of evolved to before my daughter called him.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad she had the, you know, I'm glad she was able to call him first before she,
yeah.
I can imagine as a mother, you go into sheer panic mode. So at least she had the fortitude to put on the brakes a little bit and make that phone call. So kudos to her. Good job. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. Just to reiterate, you know, getting up tons of emails, phishing emails, just make sure you check. I check every time that email address because it doesn't look legit, just like bank Chase. It didn't have all of the Chase type of thing. So know your emails. You mean just look at them and make sure that you stop. And the texts are really going out of crazy. And anytime I don't know who it is, forget it. So just
be
cautious. They're going to be out there and you can't stop them. So thank you.
Yeah, Kimberly, we just had one that had gone around before, and it's from our church, and somehow they've got our the priest's email for everybody, and it says, hi, this is Father C. We are in desperate need of credit cards to give to blah, 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 blah. And, you know, immediately think, wow, Father C, you want to respond to it, but you know it's bogus, and sure enough, it was bogus, mm-hmm. and it comes out saying, hey, look, somebody's hacked him, and please don't buy into this. So, but it really can be like what Carol was talking about, recognizing the voice. It's very, very persuasive. And you mentioned, Kimberly, and you're right, that fraud hits all levels, all every socioeconomic group. But the problem with seniors is that they are a group that generally respects authority and the government. And when they see something come across, they're more prone to respond to it. And they're not real tech savvy, so they don't realize. You did a great job of pointing out those numbers that follow the name. We look at that all the time. In fact, anytime I'm looking something up on Google and I need to get, like, let's say a Marriott vacation, you'll see a whole host of Marriott things, but look at the euro behind it and you realize, well, that's bogus. I don't want that one. That one's bogus. So it does pay to look at that. Very informative.
Yeah. Yeah. Just gotta do a little bit of homework and take it a little bit further. It's going to save you a lot of time, a lot of heartache, some, you know, financial. It'll be worth it in the end. Sadly.
Susan, you got your hand up. You got a question?
I did. I just wanted to say that I was scammed on my Amazon account. People bought things like a baby car seat and that sort of thing. And I corrected it all through American Express, but it occurred to me that Amazon had the address where these things were delivered. And why wouldn't Amazon send the police or, you know, make a report? All of my friends said, well, Amazon's so big, they don't even care. They just write it off. And maybe that's the case. But, you know, I was wondering, you know, why that doesn't happen. And some of it could be stopped that way. Maybe.
Are you kidding me? Amazon get involved with law enforcement. That ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. Linda, you got your hand up.
Yeah. I've been getting the messages, the text messages from Amazon saying, we've been trying to deliver this package. Please click here to secure your delivery. Unbeknownst to them, I never order anything from Amazon just on principle. So I delete those. And then I've been getting a lot from PayPal saying that my account has been closed or there's fraudulent activity. So I close that, go into PayPal, my account's fine, and just delete that. But the really troubling ones I've been getting since I've been looking for a job, for employment, is unsolicited emails wanting me to apply for this great job because they love my resume, but click here to get further details. That's really troubling because a lot of those are from something I've clicked on the state of California website.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
So those are really troubling, and they're actually pretty easy to pick out because it's just the name of a person, which it could be a recruiter maybe, but then you go down and it's the language is funky,
yeah.
Like, yep. You know, English second language, or they don't capitalize the I. Yeah. Like, what recruiter isn't going to capitalize an I in an email?
Absolutely.
And things like that. But those are really kind of troubling because of where I think they are coming from.
Yeah, watch the grammar, the grammar. Spelling. Those are always dead giveaways. And every time you click, yeah, like on Google or Amazon, aren't you amazed to find out that all of a sudden you get all these ads on the very things you were looking for, shoes or glasses. All of a sudden you're getting a plethora, yeah, of those. That's how that works. Mia, you got your hand up.
Email tracking. Yeah. I did get one job offer from a young man, a company here in Fullerton, to go door to door. And it was under the heading was, the way they got me to respond, it was promotions or doing promotional events. But what the job actually was to go door to door. I'm like, you're kidding. You're going to ask a 60-something-year-old woman to go door to door in some sketchy neighborhood? You actually get people to answer the door and to sell or offer government phones to people.
Yeah, you always got to watch the embellishment on these titles of anything. And yeah, it's kind of like advertisement. You know, you go in there getting the hamburger you just saw on the advertisement. That's the one you want. What do you get? This little skimpy thing. You go, no, wait a minute. What about that big one I just saw?
Yeah.
We'll have
okay. If that's
we'll
it, Linda, let's move question on to Amelia. Yeah,
our last question from Amelia.
Yes, last question here. Amelia?
Well, I have a comment, and I wanted to thank Kimberly for the great presentation, but I work for Wells Fargo, and Wells Fargo will never send an email to ask you to verify who you are. I even receive them, believe it or not, at my Wells Fargo email.
No.
So if you receive something like that, delete it and go directly to the Wells Fargo website. Do not click on that link because it's just to get all your information, and the bank will never do that.
Absolutely. Correct. Good information. And thank you. And Kimberly, thank you so much. Good information.
Absolutely.
You can never get enough of that. It's always, always needed. You didn't even touch on the fact that we get these solicited phone calls. Now that I'm retired, I can't believe how many calls I get during the day. Fortunately, I've got, you know, the caller ID, and it's always out of area or yeah, it's unbelievable. And if they really want you, they'll leave a message, which they never do.
Well, thank you, Kimberly.
So I'll
much
just leave you with
thank you, Kimberly.
Some people had asked for a copy of the presentation. If you're okay, I will email it to Elaine and to Jean, and then you guys can disseminate it accordingly.
Yes, thank you, Kimberly. And
thank
then
you.
Is
welcome.
This also available in other languages, or can that be translated?
I have
or
to do
can
it
the
myself?
Organization translate it? We've had the question from the Cambodian Family Center, because they want to make sure they make this information available to their clients. So what I'll do is I'll leave them with your contact info, and then you can coordinate that with them. But if you could send that would be fantastic. And then we will then send it to our SCAC members to share with the organizations or that they're members of.
Yeah, Elaine, a couple of folks asked, can they share the slides? Absolutely. Screenshot, absolutely. Get this information out.
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly.
For both the fantastic presentation, for sharing this important information, and for stepping in at the last minute. We greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now we're on to item number 7, which is time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak? Jenna,
Aileen, we did not receive any via email. We do have a number of members attending, public members attending this meeting. If you wish to speak during public comment, please raise your hand, or you can hit *9 if you're calling in, and I will unmute you. Once again, if you wish to speak during public comment, please hit *9 on your phone or the raise hand feature on the Zoom app, and I will unmute you.
I don't see any.
Nalinda, are you, is that hand raised or is that an old one?
Well, she's a member of SCACS, Jean.
Oh, good so point. I didn't know
if you saw. This is public communications.
All right.
Well, okay, I will make comments then when it's appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so there are no members of the public to address SCAC, so public communications is now closed, and we are on to item number 8, new business. So we've had a SCAC member resign, Phil Mandeville, due to his time commitment with the Golden Rain Foundation board, which is where he lives, and there's a lot of work he wants to do on that board. So he has resigned from SCAC. And so the executive board is looking for a new member for the board. I know we do have interest from one of our members. If there's anyone else, please let me know. We also need someone to do the presentation schedule. So Phil has filled it out for the rest of the year, but this would be going forward. There's lots of help with that. We have lots of speakers who come on a regular basis. And so this is something, ideally it would be the same candidate to do both positions, both the board and the presentation schedule. So please let me know. To be a member of the board, you need to be a member of SCAC. But if you are a member of the board, you cannot be the chair of a standing committee. So that's where sometimes we have the challenge. So someone may be asked to step up to chair a standing committee so we can get a board member. So please let me know within the next day or so, because we would like to fill this position, because there's a lot of work going on in SCAC. It's all good, but we do need to fill that. And I also want to give a big shout out and thank you to Jean Hernandez, who is covering the presentation schedule responsibilities during this time. Jean did this last year, and so he stepped in when Phil resigned to cover this area of responsibility. So thank you, Jean, for doing that.
But not I know a problem, but my plate is full. So please, somebody else, let's come on board. I will help you. I have no problem assisting. Mm-hmm. So please get involved.
Yeah, no, there's lots of help with that. And then when we go back to meeting in person, there's a pretty standard rotation of which senior centers we go to which month. So but we just need someone to coordinate that. So please let me know. I look forward to getting lots of phone calls from all of you that you are interested. Going on to old business. So we did send the letter and the report to the Board of Supervisors. It has been received by them, and it is being reviewed. So that's all the information I have right now. I'm very hopeful though, and we'll have more information for you soon. So, but it has been received and is being reviewed. As has been mentioned at previous meetings, Jean and I are looking to meeting individually with the supervisors. We will be meeting via Zoom with Supervisor Foley on the 17th. And this is specifically to talk to Supervisor Foley about what SCAC does. Because she is a new supervisor, we want to be sure that she has a full understanding of what we do and that we are advocates for the senior citizens in Orange County regarding programs and resources. So it's mostly to introduce her to SCAC. So Jean and I will be doing that on next Tuesday, the 17th. And chair comments, just, you know, I appreciate all that you're doing. Please be sure you're reaching out to your senior centers. You know, they are reopening. Some of them are phasing in. Some of them have fully reopened. Each city is a little bit different because, as you know, each city runs their senior center. It's not done by the county. It's by the direction they're receiving from their city councils. So constantly reach out to them and then bring information back to SCAC if there's an area that we can assist with, because that's what we're here for. And that's how the communication is two ways. And each of you are assigned to a or more than one senior center as the senior center liaisons. And if you would like assistance in making that connection, if you haven't done so already, Cynthia Thacker is our senior center liaison coordinator. She will be happy to do that with you. But it is so important that you maintain and enhance that communication. And I see Cynthia wants to chime in on chair comments, so go ahead. You're on mute, Cynthia.
Okay, I thought I unmuted myself. I think it would be a great opportunity when we get these slides for this frauds crime thing is that we connect with our senior center, and another way to, you know, interact with them. So hopefully we'll get that slide and think about interacting with the senior center with that information, because it was valuable information.
Okay, thank you. Yes, as soon as I get that from Kimberly, I'll be sending it out. So this is something that you can then send to your senior centers. But don't just send an email, send it and then call them. Have that conversation, voice to voice. So that enhances the relationship. And then as just a reminder to SCAC members, the standing committees will continue meeting via Zoom. The executive board will continue meeting Zoom. The monthly general SCAC meetings will be via Zoom for the next 2 months. Then in November, we will meet in person. I know we're dying to do that. I'll look forward to seeing everyone at our November general meeting. And then hopefully it's hard to say 2022, that seems so far off, but that our monthly meetings will be in person with everything else remaining via Zoom. Okay, so now we are on to item number 9, and Erica, you ready for the Office on Aging update?
I sure am. Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Just a few updates for the Office on Aging. I just have a few things to share regarding the master plan for aging, and I'll follow up with an email. I'll ask Jenna to send this out, but we did hear from the California Department of Aging that they released their first progress report for the master plan for aging in July. That is to summarize the 6-month release of the MPA. So it's an easy read, but I think it's really helpful because it includes some of the initiatives that support the 5 broad goals. And then also we heard from CDA that they're going to be releasing a 1-pager that summarizes all the new investments that are included in the state budget toward aging programs. So that should be released on Monday. I probably will wait until Monday when we can get that, and then I'll send out both documents so you have those handy. And then speaking of the master plan, as you know, we have the actual report itself, and then it did include a local playbook. And CDA reached out to all the counties and offered to host a workshop if counties were interested in how to implement that local playbook. So Orange County said, yes, absolutely, we're interested. CDA was trying to staff up and make sure that they had the resources to be able to accommodate everyone that was interested. So it got delayed a little bit, but it's happening. So it is on calendar for Monday, August 16th. And we will be meeting with CDA, us as local county leaders, not only myself from the Office on Aging and our OCCR leadership, but also the Social Services Agency, the Healthcare Agency, and then I've invited Elaine as our chair of SCAC to participate in that workshop. So we'll have hopefully some concrete next steps that come out of that workshop that we can share with SCAC and how you can help and support us in our local implementation. As far as office updates, we are, of course, focused on reopening. As Elaine mentioned, many of the senior centers have already started to reopen and offer some programming. We are trying to work closely with our contracted providers and the cities to offer the congregate lunch program and an in-person dining offering. Right now, the city of Irvine is the only senior center that is offering in-person dining throughout the county. All the senior centers in South County were expected to open August 16th for their in-person dining services, but because of the COVID numbers and the Delta variant and, you know, things getting a little scary, there was some hesitation there, so they've pushed that date back. And so we'll continue to work closely with them and making sure that they have the capacity to provide the in-person dining, but then also as a parallel process, continue to offer the grab and go meals at the senior centers for those that don't feel comfortable dining in person. We want to make sure that we have both options available so that no one is denied a meal, even if they don't feel comfortable coming inside. But great feedback actually from Irvine at the Lakeview Senior Center. They have a lot of enthusiasm from their seniors that are excited to come back. Many of them came for the grab and go and they took a peek in the dining room and saw their friends and said, oh, maybe it doesn't look so bad. Maybe I'll sign up and make a reservation to eat lunch inside with my friends. And then they are sharing that about 25% of those that are coming to their congregate meals are deciding to eat their lunch out on the patio. So they have a nice setup and the weather's conducive to sitting outside and having lunch with their friends outdoors if they're still a little anxious about going inside. So we're hoping that that's going to be a model for other cities to look at that success and see that it can be done. And of course, they have all the state guidance that they need. We've been supporting them with all the FAQs, and as questions come in and we're not able to answer, we send that right up to the state to get them a response so that they have all the information that they need to safely reopen and resume those services. And then just wanted to mention a few new resources that have come to the office. I know many of you may have seen the announcement, but our Aging and Disability Resource Center grant, the ADRC grant, has allowed us to bring in some staffing support through contracted partnerships. So the Dale McIntosh Center is our core partner in the ADRC, and they've been able to use some grant funding to hire positions like housing coordinators, veterans call center specialists that are working in our veteran service office. So essentially they're Dale McIntosh employees that are paid through the grant, but they're co-located and stationed in our county building. So they're able to provide services directly on site to our clients, both at the Office on Aging and the Veteran Service Office. So it's been a great partnership and a real creative way to bring new resources and build capacity without having to expand county positions, which are a little more challenging to get. So it's been a quick and efficient way to add resources and build our capacity. So we'll continue to keep you updated as we maximize that grant funding and bring new resources to serve the seniors and veterans. And then the other thing I wanted to mention related to the COVID vaccine, we've heard reports from the healthcare agency that Orange County seniors have done an amazing job in terms of vaccination rates. I think 87% of seniors in Orange County, maybe even more than that by now, have been fully vaccinated. So we just have about 13% of seniors in Orange County that are not fully vaccinated or not vaccinated in any way. And so we did receive some vaccine funding from the state. The Office on Aging received an allocation as well as the Dale McIntosh Center on behalf of the ADRC. So all told, we have about $177,000 that we are able to spend through September of next year, 2022. And the funding is specifically for outreach efforts for older adults regarding the vaccine. So we met with the healthcare agency to talk about some ideas. We definitely didn't want to duplicate any efforts that they were already had in the works or things that were working well. We wanted to see if there was a way to complement some of the efforts that the healthcare agency was already doing for vaccine outreach. And they were very candid with us and said, we need your help. We have done everything we can to create the message and the tools, but not everybody goes to the healthcare agency or the county website for information. And so they need our help to not necessarily change the message, but maybe change the messenger and how we deliver that message. So we're going to be working with our community partners. Definitely if SCAC's interested or you come across ideas or think that there might be a strategy that addresses a particular target population, maybe there's language barriers, access barriers, things that you're coming across in your work and in your liaison conversations with your centers, definitely bring those ideas to us because we want to make sure that we're utilizing that funding and that we are targeting that 13%, right? There's a reason why there's a percentage of older adults that in Orange County that have not received the vaccine, and we need to tailor our message and address what those issues might be. So that's exciting. And then just wrapping up the vaccine topic, I think I've mentioned before in past meetings that we have been working with the developers of Othena. That's the application that the county uses for scheduling appointments for the vaccine. They have added transportation as a feature so that older adults can schedule a ride through our senior non-emergency medical transportation program at the same time that they're confirming their vaccine appointment. And the nice thing is that the healthcare agency is going to be using Othena for other things besides just COVID-19 vaccine. They're looking at flu shots and, you know, other services that our transportation service can help support because our transportation is anything medically related, even picking up prescriptions for seniors that need that. So, we're in the final testing phases just to make sure that that's operating as designed. And that is something that we're excited to launch. And as soon as we have more information or a flyer that features that, then I'll be sure to share that with you. And then, you know, with the SuperPods collapsing, you know, no more Disneyland, everything's getting very mobile. There's community vaccine clinics that are happening. On a smaller scale, the next phase is getting very mobile. So Othena is working on the ability to order a vaccine for homebound seniors. So those that are on the in-home support services program or living in residential care facilities or that are just truly homebound in their own homes, they'll be able to order a mobile vaccine to be brought to them. So that's exciting. I think that's all I have. Any questions?
Hey, that was a lot, Erica. A lot of good information. Any questions for her on her report? Okay, well, it looks like you covered it all. Meredith?
I was just going to say, I was at the Cal Optima MAC meeting yesterday, and they were reporting out on their vaccination success. They're the most successful public plan in Southern California, which is exciting. And they were saying that they thought it was mostly due to their gift card promotion program, that was what incentivized a lot of people to come in. I was wondering if that was something that would be available with that funding, the gift card program.
We did ask that question of CDA, and also the healthcare agency echoed that when they can provide an immediate incentive, not that you can be entered into a drawing and there you may potentially win the lottery, but if there's an actual, you get something at the same time that you're receiving that vaccine, that they've shown that is effective. So that is an allowable use of these funds. So definitely something I think would be a great idea for seniors, maybe a grocery card or Walgreens, you know, anything that would help with some of their other expenses would be a good idea.
Thank you. Jeffrey?
I just wanted a quick comment in regards to this week on our FAST meeting. Erica did a fantastic job of relaying what's going on within the county and SCAC and the efforts in regards to seniors and just the whole, I mean, everything. Just a fantastic job, Erica. I didn't get to catch you while you were still there. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I appreciate it. Glad to help.
Okay. Any other questions for Erica? Okay, Jeffrey, I did notice that you had a comment in the chat box. If you could send me the link for the information, or if you have any digital brochures or flyers, if you send that to me, then I'll send that out the same time I send out Kimberly's presentation.
I so certainly our SCAC will. Members Thank have you. It.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we are on now to item number 10, standing committee reports. Jean, would you like to call on your standing committee chairs?
I will do that, yes. sitting down here a minute. Okay, let's start with first. Meredith, you want to go first?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. So we had our meeting last month, and we had Dr. Tran do a presentation on the cancer code. It was very interesting. We had a lot of participation. Then after that, we moved into our two master plan goals. So really the conversation is more geared on the master plan goals now in our committee. And we formed two subcommittees. One subcommittee is gonna focus on health reimagined as a goal and really dig into the blue zones and see if that's something that might be interesting in Orange County to talk about during our March workshop. And then our other group is gonna focus on caregiving that works and the gaps and opportunities that exist for paid and unpaid caregivers and potential programs and resources. So I'm really thankful that Barbara Sloat is heading up Caregiving That Works along with Dave Sullivan, Ann Moudry, and Nicolette. And then Phil Mandeville was going to head up the Health Reimagined. And so I know that Casey said that he's willing to do that now. And Susan and Patty are also in that group. So I guess our meetings are becoming more centered on the master plan about gaps and services and about recommendations for our March workshop. Thank you.
Good job, Meredith. And yes, we do appreciate that recentering. Let's go with Evelyn.
Yes, hi. It says legislative committee, but it's actually the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. We had our first working session as a Senior Citizen Engagement Committee last month. And we talked about our revised mission and revised goals. We're meeting on Monday, and we're going to be finalizing our mission statement, finalizing our goals and objectives, and looking at our speakers and making sure that we are looking for the right kind of speakers based on our objectives.
Good job, Evelyn. Thank you. And yeah, I appreciate the emphasis on getting speakers that are really focused on what we're looking at as opposed to just general information. So let's go with Sandy Stang. Sandy, you're muted. Sandy, you with us? I see your name. Let's see what's going on there with Sandy. Not there. All right, well, let's come back to Sandy. Sandy? How about Dave Tesloff? Elaine, you want me to touch on that one?
I just want to, you've seen the final product that has been submitted to the Board of Supervisors, and we just wait for marching orders until we get a response back from the board. And at this time, I'd just like to thank the committee members, Tony, Carolyn, Meredith, and Crystal for all of their help. And a thank you for Elaine and Erica for the fine tuning on that with the final documents submitted to the Board of Supervisors. So we'll just wait for further marching orders once we hear back from the board.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. Sandy, have you joined us yet? Okay, well, I did attend that meeting, and they did an excellent job. We had a presentation from OCTA, which might be a good one for the general meeting here, that talked about all the transportation developments going in, major projects in the county, particularly the 405 and the 5 South County. So there was a lot of good knowledge on, okay, we see everything torn up, what's going on, what's the status? Some ask, hey, I don't see like anything's going on. And our speaker did a really good, Chris, did a really good job of explaining. A lot of the work takes place at night, very late at night, so you're not going to see it, so they don't disrupt the flow of traffic. So until Sandy gets back with us, I think that was about it. They're good turnout. We're getting good conversation. And that should do it for me, Elaine.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. Good reports from all of our standing committees. Thank you for all of your work. I mean, it's so pleased to see that you're focusing on the master plan on aging, so we're all speaking the same language, and also that you're making sure that the speakers that you bring to the meetings are focused on the same topic, on what you're doing for the master plan on aging, so that we can then communicate what we need to do to the Board of Supervisors. And also remember, you do not have to have a speaker for all your meetings. Some of your meetings can be working meetings to really dive into the information. So it's perfectly okay. In fact, I recommend that you have some working meetings. Okay, now we're on to item number 11 on the agenda. Elizabeth Busick.
All right, members in good standing, I'd say most members are. We have one person who is absent today, who had been absent the last two times. And this today's absence makes the fourth absent. And that person has not turned in any hours for the whole year. So that person is not in good standing. And then we have two other people who have not turned in any hours at all. But as far as attendance goes, there's just one person who has a real problem. In fact, is beyond this is the fourth absence. But I'd say most people are doing a very good job of getting in their hours. They're rather conscientious, and I ask you to please send them to me at my home address. And Elaine, when she sent out the information, she also sent out the template for you to use. And so there shouldn't be any problem as to, well, how do I fill it out? That you have the template. It has been, and I have also sent out the template, but one or two people said that they couldn't open it. But this one that Elaine sent out, no problem. So I'd say all is in good hands.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. And this is also reviewed at the executive board meeting for any communication that we need to do with members who are not in good standing. And just a reminder, you know, when Elizabeth asks for the hours in your monthly reporting, that's not just because we want to collect a piece of paper. That's a requirement of the Board of Supervisors to show that each member of this Senior Advisory Council is working in the senior arena at least a minimum of 8 hours a month. I know many of our members do substantially over that, but this is a requirement of the Board of Supervisors. And if you're not able to meet that requirement, then you may want to reconsider whether or not you're a contributing member of SCAC and maybe want to make that seat available to somebody else. But please be sure to get your hours, your monthly reporting into Elizabeth. Okay, now we are down to item number 12, announcements, but I'm gonna take a step back because I was remiss in not putting a line for Cynthia Thacker. So I'll let Cynthia, Cynthia, do you have any additional information you wanna share regarding senior center liaisons?
I think you covered it earlier, so I'll leave it at that, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, and Nelida Mendoza, you had an announcement for SCAC?
Oh, yes. Good morning, fellow board members. My name is Nelida Mendoza. I am the council member of our beautiful city of Santa Ana. in the announcement that I have is that I've been working on putting together an event for our senior citizens, and it's called Grandparents Celebration Day / Día de los Abuelitos. And this is to celebrate our senior citizens in our communities. And it is an Orange County wide invitation to all senior centers. And it's going to take place on August 27th. It's a Friday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have recruited vendors dealing with issues that senior centers, senior citizens need, such as Alzheimer's. The Council on Aging will be there, and they will have prizes, various information brochures, so that they can seek out what they need as far as health and to help them apply for housing if needed. So it's going to be at the Senior Southwest Senior Center, located at 2201 West McFadden Avenue, Santa Ana, 92704. Everyone's invited, even if you're not a senior. And our guest speaker is Congressman Lou Correa, also on senior citizen areas. And we're going to give away some nice t-shirts from the congressman's office. There will be breakfast and a lunch provided. And we're going to see if the senior centers will provide transportation to the Southwest Senior Center. And as the flyer should be available today, and I will send it out to all of you so that you can disperse among your contacts in our communities dealing with the senior citizen issues. And if there's any questions, they may contact me. My cell number is 714-721-6141. And I will, I'm one of those who hasn't turned in my hours or monthly reports, but I will see again if I can get that template to work. Otherwise, I'll contact Elizabeth and get to submit it right away. Okay, so, any questions? My cell number is out there, but I'm looking forward to continuing this event on a yearly basis that we celebrate our senior citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It sounds like a wonderful event. Do attendees need to make a reservation or RSVP for it?
No, it's open open to everyone. So much easier this way. We just made sure that the vendors have enough of everything to provide the senior citizens who attend.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Okay, Sherry Geyer, I see you have your hand up.
I do, I did. In Tustin, we're open full-time now with 75%, I think we're up to now. We have, the seniors are excited to be back. And actually, I'm wrong about that. We're at 25%. We haven't resumed our meeting, not our meetings, but our congregate meals yet. We do have several programs, and some are outside. We have a bingo program that's in the car, taking place in the car to a radio station, and for gifts. Not for money, but they're having a really good time with that. And this weekend is our first big gathering kept to the standards of CDC and the state of California. And that is the Tustin Chili Cook-Off. It's on Sunday from 11 to 6. And we'd love to see the percentage that we can have. And the way that we're doing that is you have to have a ticket, and the tickets are only through the Tustin Chili Cook-Off web. That is the way that they will know when they've reached their maximum. So come out if you'd like to on Sunday. And we're really excited about that because we did it by Zoom last year. Prior to the pandemic, we held the record for the largest attendance at a single day event in the country. So that's underway. Our transportation is available, not to the chili cook-off, but to the back to their appointments that they have. And that's it, pretty much in full swing. The seniors are just so excited to, I was chuckling when someone reported that they're looking into the windows because that was happening at ours. But now our doors are open from 8 to 5. And I think that's it for right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, any other announcements or information you want to share with SCAC before we adjourn? I don't see any other hands up. Okay, our next meeting for the full SCAC is on September 10th. And the presentation will be St. Jude Caregiving for Seniors. And the speaker is from St. Jude Hospital. And then we have our upcoming standing committee meetings, Senior Citizen Engagement Committee on Monday. And then on Wednesday, Wellbeing Reimagined. And then on September 9th, the Housing and Transportation. All those are via Zoom. The information is on your agenda. And if you would like to attend a meeting, you are welcome to the Zoom link will be on the agenda that is publicly posted, or let Jenna know and she can send you the link as well. So,
Elaine,
seeing no other announcements, somebody's Elaine. Calling my name. Carol.
That's me, Carol. I forgot to add when we were talking about things that were happening. The Taste of Placentia is Thursday, August the 19th in the city of Placentia. So we're having that August the 19th. So come and enjoy some good food.
Okay, great. Thank you. And you just made me glance over at my paper. And there's one thing I wanted to share with you, and it's a conversation that I regularly have with my clients, and Kimberly brought it up, and it's the difference between debit cards and credit cards. When you use a debit card, do not let it out of your sight. Okay. Problem with fraud with debit cards is that it starts draining your bank account. And then until the problem is resolved, how do you pay your bills? With a credit card, it's not taking funds out of your checking account. So just be very careful with the use of debit cards. I know, especially for a younger generation, they like to use that instead of writing checks. But you are prone to, or you're more vulnerable because it is attached to your checking account and then money is immediately taken out. So just keep that in mind. So that's all I have. I don't see any other announcements. Thank you all for joining us today, for bringing information here, and then for sharing the information that we send out. As soon as I get those presentations, I will be distributing it to you, so then you can send it to your senior centers and other organizations within your community. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone. Have a